Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Report.
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day to every one of you. All 14,294 of you who have viewed my blogtalkradio.com profile and listen to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Now, that jam, I ended that jam with yesterday's show. If you're wondering, who is that? If you already don't know, because he is exploding. I love him. I love him. I love him. That's Austin Brown. Yes, he is a part of America's musical royal family, the Jacksons. He's Ruby Jackson's third child, she and her husband, Nathaniel Brown's only son. And he rocks. Fab producer Rodney Jergens is one of his producers. He has an EP dropping in August. So keep your eyes and ears open for more from him. And really, you don't have to keep your eyes and ears open because he's exploding. You know, you're not going to get enough of him. So look out Justin Bieber, look out Usher, look out everyone, because he's coming. And as you can hear his influences, but also he's original. And his dance moves, oh my God, he's from the Jackson family. So check out his website, follow him at Austin Brown, so you can keep up to date on what he's doing, because he's in New York right now, and he's always tweeting about how he's recording on his music so he can release his EP in August. So I can go on and on and on, but we're talking about Memorial Day, and we're talking about, okay, he's landed that important job interview, now what? Now get the J-O-B. So we're going to talk about successful interview tips to winning that interview, which, you know, I'm paying attention myself. I'm listening to myself, and I wish you all would call in. My friend Reggie Roughneck Ruffin from Big D, he's on the line. He's going to share, I guess, some successful interview tips with us, too. But he's especially, since he's in Big D, you know he's going to talk about what's up with those maps, which I don't know. He might be like just a Cuban. I don't know. He might not want him. Mom might be the word. He might not want to talk. I don't know. So we'll see. And, you know, he always have me cracking up, so I know I'm not alone. You guys are always cracking, too. So, we'll begin. Also, oh, my God, I want to send my prayers out. I mean, late last night, I saw on Twitter first that Sean Kingston had been in a bad jet ski accident. He and one of his lady friends in Miami. And so I'm just wondering, how is he doing? So I read on Global Grind that he, well, exactly what happened. I didn't know what happened. So I did a little research and Googling and so on to find out what happened to Sean Kingston. Because I was wondering why Justin was like saying, was tweeting out to everybody to pray for him. Because I just immediately started praying, not knowing what happened. And so, oh my God, we have to be careful on these holidays. And when it's not a holiday, we have to be careful wherever we're doing. And so what I read in Global Grind is that he and the young lady accidentally ran into a bridge somewhere. So y'all read. This was a few hours ago, so they stated in the article that he stabilized. So let's just keep him in our prayers for a fast recovery. He is the guy that exploded in 2007. Like I'm predicting Austin would do. Remember, he exploded in 2007 with the song Beautiful Girls. Okay? So let's be careful. Let's have fun and enjoy this Memorial Day. This is an important holiday, like all patriotic holidays, recognizing those who lost their lives in the U.S. Wars and have served their time. And people I just send wishes out to people like me, patriotic people. And I obviously seem like most people, the majority of people, regardless of where you're from, even if you're not American, if you love America, you especially recognize this day. So happy red, white, and blue. So we'll get started. And Roughneck want to, you know, wish everybody a happy Memorial Day. And I think he might share some tips with us. And I'll share some tips with you all, but then we'll get ahead and get the show started. It's already started, but I'm going to share tips, and then we're going to talk. Talk and have fun. It's a fun day, and we should be able to talk fun things. But then also remember that, you know, down here and in Joplin, Missouri, and other places, we're still recovering from horrific natural disasters. So be sure to contact the Red Cross at redcross.org Hands of Hope. If you would like to donate $10 or visit the website, if you want to donate more than $10, let them know. But if you want to donate $10, you can always text Red Cross to 90999. That's to help out during the recovery of the horrific tornadoes that happened down here in the Deep South. Okay, because now, even in Mississippi, you know, we're still losing life. People who were injured a month ago are, you know, people are recovering, but then people are still passing away from injuries, you know. So, I mean, that's maybe some things you don't hear about on the news, but that's why it's important for all of us to check in on our friends in different areas of the world and other communities. Care about our own communities, but care about other communities. Okay? Well, we talked about resumes last week, so we're going to talk about job interviews, which I'm looking forward to going on a few interviews myself in the near future. And tomorrow, business plans, writing that perfect business plan, you know, and so on. So, I mean, there are businesses that are successful without business plans, but then even successful businesses, they need something, a blueprint or a roadmap to look back, or guidelines at least to look back at to see the wrongs and the rights that they're doing, you know. So business plans are important, really. I mean, if for yourself or for you to present to investors or to take to financial institutions like banks, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Okay, well, thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate everyone. What's up? Is Reg Roughneck, you're on the line?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing this morning? Happy Memorial Day.
Good day. It's Monday morning. Hey, regardless, it's a holiday, so we're gonna try to make the most of it. But it's gonna shape up to be a great day. And I was just sitting here, just listening to the points that you was making, and just trying to soak in that yes, we do have a lot to be thankful for, and there are others that's, you know, still going through some hard times. And we have to really be mindful of that and have to pray for them as well.
True, true. So you already kicked off your celebrations? Because I've always looked at Memorial Day weekend as kicking off on that Friday and then, you know, continue to this official day, federal official day, today.
Yeah.
I know you told me, you know, off the air, that you had began, but, you know.
Well, I had a lot of things planned this weekend, but, my family went out of town, and my daughter was supposed to come over, and she called in at the ninth hour and bailed on me, so I had some nice little time to just have some solitude to myself. So I took full advantage of it. Made a little run to the liquor store and cashed in on the weekend, straight brown bagging style.
Oh, your cognac hour started, huh? Your cognac Memorial Day weekend started, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it's the cognac weekend. It's off a little bit early. All I needed was that glass monocle around my eye and just strutting around like a true British. And all I needed just put a little spark in my tea.
Okay, now. You're about to make me go there. Then we'll start joking about royalty. And I love royalty. We don't want to start making jokes about royalty.
Sometimes
that TV little spike sometimes.
Well, you know, it's always about perceptions. What what they don't know won't hurt nobody. But
when I watch some of my favorite talk shows, I sometimes wonder, well, what is in that cup? You know, sometimes I wonder, especially Craig Ferguson. Yeah. What is in that cup? And Jay Leno. I wonder sometimes, what is in that cup? What are they drinking?
Well,
Even Regis, or even Regis early in the morning, he seemed to be having, you know, really happy.
you can look at Regis and tell that he can get a little flaccid if he really wanted to. So, you know, anything could be in his cup.
And I love Wendy's. So it's like, you know how Wendy be Wendy Williams. What are they sipping on? Some people just bubbly with personality.
Yeah, sometimes you have to have that extra edge for the ratings. As a matter of fact, now Larry Hagman a long time ago admitted that a lot of times when they were supposed to be drinking on those spots, you know, you could alternate and use like something that looks like mainly apple juice. They'll probably put apple juice in there. Well,
you talking about when they were filming Dallas? You talking about Larry Hagman? Ewing?
J.R. Ewing,
that's when they were filming.
Right.
When I was a little girl, and I used to come to Dallas a lot of times to love coming to Fort Worth to visit the ranch. But you say he used to sip on, sometimes it wouldn't be apple juice, huh?
No, well, he admitted it that a lot of times that was the real deal. He was,
And with his character,
you know,
his character was very realistic.
Well, hey.
I hadn't heard that story. Wow.
Oh,
but his character
like
was
this.
Very real. No wonder he does.
Yeah, you can tell him sometimes he's doing some of his routines, like when they're doing the scripts or whatever, he'd be a little edgy. And all I can say is J.R. was in rare form a lot of days. And that
so
was
some
part
of the sarcasm
of
was real.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you're able to maintain. And I mean, and I know, like, on Monday Night Football, Hal Cosell was plastered quite a few times during his commentary. Sometimes he got a little off the mark and kind of went a little past his cue. And, you know, him and Danny Don Meredith, they used to go at it in the broadcast booth. And old Frank Gifford, he was always so good at just mediating. He always
his wife and her co-host on Today Show, they do be sipping on wine, like at 10 o'clock during her show. They do. They be testing and reviewing wine. They do be drinking.
Well, you know, all I can say is I've been in the raw business for a long time, and maybe it's time for me to start crossing over.
Well, you hadn't mentioned the Mavs. I'm watching Mike and Mike also right now. Mike and Mike are off right now, but Jalen Rose is co-hosting. And they're talking about baseball right now, but before the show went on air, they were comparing. They're comparing Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Well, you know,
this morning.
I thought about that because that's been kind of brewing since Thursday. But
yeah,
I could kind of relate to some of what Scotty was saying. Now, athletically, LeBron James is a better athlete than Michael Jordan, and yeah, you could say because of the fact that he is one of the few players in the NBA right now who could play all five positions, which is a very difficult task for anyone to pull off. I mean, Magic Johnson was definitely someone who could do that. Kevin Garnett could do it, but and that's something LeBron could do. But that's the only advantage that I would give LeBron over Michael Jordan. But when it just comes to straight getting with it and having that desire to win no matter what, Mike's in a class all by himself. I mean, the story is yet to be told on LeBron. It's still early. I mean, the young man is still, 26, 27 years old? So
yeah.
He still has a
Carmelo
long way to go.
Carmelo just turned 27 yesterday, or he's turning 27 today. And then what?
Nothing. It's just that LeBron's only 26. And, you know, he's been in the league 8 years, so he definitely has a long, bright future ahead of him. I mean, it's already funny that, you know, you're having people now whispering Kobe's gotten old now, considering this is, what, his 14th year in the league now, and, you know, he's in his early 30s, and, you know, like I said, when these guys come out of high school, they're getting that extra 3-4 years in the league that, you know, a lot of players before they didn't have at that time. You know, think what MJ's numbers would have been if he had of went from high school straight to the pros. And that didn't happen. He stayed in North Carolina. Guy, at least he stayed 3 years before he finally went pro. But, you know, that was something of an edge that the younger players now have that they can do, that they did. Let me say that they did, because now you have to – they've gone back to where you got to be at least – have at least 2 years in the NBA. I mean, 2 years – excuse me, 2 years in college before you can go to the NBA. And I thought it was good to do it, but then, you know, the NCAA has now just been a nice little springboard for some players.
Yeah, they started that the last year. Jackson, Mississippi native Monte Ellis went straight from Lanier.
Right.
Because, you know, that was the last year they could do that. Yeah, Monte went straight from high school to the NBA.
I mean, people don't realize how difficult of a transition that is, you know, you know, 18 years old, coming out of high school, next you know, bam, you got this seven-figure contract waving under your nose, and then he just is like, what do I do, George? What do I do? You know,
I don't know the type of orientation classes, and I don't even know, I hope they have some type of training for them making that jump. I'm sure they have it when they get drafted.
They have them.
And join. Yeah, wow. Even with the NFL, it breaks my heart that they canceled the rookie symposium. They still should have kept that on schedule, because that's important, those new cats going into the league. They need all
the
that preparation.
The rookie symposium, could you kind of brief?
The symposium with the NFL, you know, it's exactly what it is, a symposium introducing the new draft this year to the NFL,
right,
and to their new job and to the job duties. And so they canceled that because it's scheduled to happen like maybe in a week or two. And they canceled it because of the lockout. I think they still should have kept that on schedule. I mean, the rookies, they're new to the job.
On that. Because I know Deion Sanders had a workshop similar to that, and I mean his was about as real.
Maybe veteran players and retired players, just like with the lockouts, maybe they need to schedule their own, you know. But this is like hey, welcome to your new job type thing. So
it's a lot of things that the youngsters have to really prepare themselves for them, and the main one is going to be your bank account go from zero to astronomical figures, and now you got
Cam
all this
Newton.
Money. You got all this money. You got to figure out how you're going to manage it, because first thing everybody want to do, you know, like, I hate to use this tragic example, but then look at what Michael Vick did. I mean, you know, he went from the hood, came on in, and look at how it all enveloped, just grabbed him up. You know, he started wanting to show his friends that he was still that stand-up guy from back in the hood. And then, you know,
uh-huh,
he just had hanger-ons like he had an entourage like for thousands, you know what I mean?
Oh, man.
People moving
into their
houses.
They definitely need financial advice regarding making investments. They definitely need advice on making on their decisions when making investments. Because that was one of his investments,
or
one of his big decisions.
Right. I think he's definitely been the most tragic example of what happens when you go from poverty to prosperity, and then you don't know how to handle it, because, you know, you're going to have so many hanger-ons and so many leeches that are just going to jump in and just going to get their lock on you and all that. And then look at what happened to him. Eventually caught up with him when he least expected it. You know, not too long after he signed a $100 million contract, that's when he went to his highest and then crashed down to his lowest.
Excuse me. Let me share a couple of tips regarding job interviews because some people want to know. And you share some tips also before we go off the air. We're going to stop streaming in a few, but we're still going to be on air. So you guys, if you missed the show or some of your friends wanted to hear the show in its entirety, visit the profile and listen to the show archive, the repeat of the show. You can listen online, and you can also call in and listen on the phone. And that's also important to know when listening to the show. If you don't have access to your computer to listen online, you can always call in and listen. Please excuse my pooch. She's barking about something. But always, yeah, when you know you have an interview scheduled, always research your company. Always research the company that you know you're going to be interviewed by. You know the corporate culture of that company, or know if it's a small business, know how they operate things, and know basic things when it was founded, and just certain things about that company you research. It's important to know because a lot of times that is one of the interview questions. What do you know about this company? Why do you want to work for this company? And so it's important not to have like a blank face saying duh, and it's also important
No, I was just saying that's one of the things you'll be saying when they ask a question and you don't know, you got that and that is an embarrassing situation you don't want to get yourself caught into when you're doing a job interview.
Yeah, you'd be like, duh, I know so-and-so on my cousin, wife, sister used to work here. No, that's not what they're talking about. They want to know why you want to work here, what you know about the company. You're right. You don't want to be like, you know. So you have to gather the background information. But then it helps if you do know certain people to hear certain things. But it's good to get facts, not just hearsay about a company. But if you heard good things, say, well, so-and-so worked here. And I've always heard them say good things about the company. That's good, too. And practice interview questions. You know, practice, you know, questions that you know that are commonly asked interview questions. And practice if you record yourself and listen back on how you sound and how you answer questions, or, you know, get a friend, a loved one, someone to ask you questions, and so you can practice.
Right.
What else you have to say about the interview process? Especially if you've been a guy also. What about your dress attire? I always hear people talk about how people come to job interviews dressed. Huh? Do you have any advice regarding that?
One of the things I will say, and I definitely want to say this definitely to our young black people, please, do not come in there with the night with the little athletic shirts or whatever, and then you got
when you're a billionaire like Mr.
Cuban,
when you're a billionaire like Mr. Mark Cuban, you can wear a t-shirt anywhere, huh? But if you go on an interview, it's all another story.
It's like job. I am the job. You know, I mean, it's a different attitude, man. I mean. Yeah, Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban can wear. I mean, he wears jeans and T-shirts better than
I mean, he can put on a beanie hat with the little propeller on if he wants to, because you know he can do what he wants.
But for those out there, what you say, especially those young black.
The young black people, please do not go in there sagging, and then try to work on your verbiage a little bit. You know, it is just so humiliating sometimes just to see my people going in there looking for a job and saying some of the most dumbest things that just, oh my goodness. I'm gonna try to keep it real on the show without going a little too over to the censors, but you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, you can't be going there like, oh, yeah, I went and got this shirt, and I'm going to do, you don't do it, you know what I'm saying? You know, you don't want to do all, you don't do the yo-yo-yo type of stuff, you know what I mean?
Learn some professional language. If you need to Google it or research it before you go,
definitely.
Learn some basic of professional language, huh? And like you said, just
exactly.
A common language. I mean, that's slang if we didn't know that. It might be part of everyday conversation, but there's
corporate just say
language.
Everyday conversation where they go. It's not everyday conversation. Definitely not where, you know, where
I am. My mom loved Jennifer Hudson, but the song "Where You At," my mom's like, "Where you at? What is that all about?"
Well, come on now, Jennifer, something.
You know, where you at?
You gotta put a little something on that, all right?
And another favorite rapper of mine in San Francisco, he has a song called "Where You At." So "Where You At" is part, you know, that's a part for, but you can't go in a job interview saying "Where You At." Oh, where
right.
The job's at? And what other tip? And also for the young ladies, also some ladies wear like spaghetti. Go in. I mean, literally, some people will go in wearing hot pants and spaghetti shirt tops.
Oh yeah, the hoochie look, you know the.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get this job by flashing my assets. Yeah, that's another one.
You know, even if the job is like considered a wild job, you know, a real fun job, like at some of these restaurants where the jobs are like really,
server or waitress or something.
Even if it's a fun job, when you go to the interview, professional. You carry yourself in a professional manner, and you dress conservative. That's the word that you remember.
I've seen a lady come into a job interview at Texas Workforce, as a matter of fact, with the short shorts and the boots, you know.
That's a look that I've liked in my, you know, back in the day, shorts and boots, but you don't go to a job in shorts.
You know, the boots two and a half, three inch heels. No, this is more like 3.5 to 4 inch heels.
And this is recently, unless she was going to audition for Jennifer Lopez, Janet Jackson video.
You're right. You would have thought she was going to be in the video, yeah. More like one of the videos with Luke or somebody, you know, Uncle Luke, you know. She would have got that one easy. I've seen that. And I was, you know, of course, she's flouncing the cleavage real good, you know. I mean, if I'm sitting up there looking, I mean, I've been like hired.
Wow, and she might have been qualified for the job, but then do you know if she got the job or not?
I don't think she got that one.
She might have been qualified for the job, but because of her appearance, she might not have gotten the job.
This was an industrial job that we were going for. Now, I can see if you were going for actually a dancer job or something like that.
Yeah.
But this was a professional industrial-type job that she was applying for. So that there was not something that I could say was appropriate. That was not appropriate. So...
Uh-huh.
But it's just one of those things now that people mindlessly do when they go looking for a job. Now, I don't know if that was the best that she had to wear or what, but...
Yeah, you have to make do with what you got. She might be a party person, and then also I know dance clubs are popular in Dallas. So, you know, she might have also worked in, you know... Sometimes we be wanting that job interview so we can get that first paycheck, so we can buy clothes to come to work. It sounds like to you, if she had a pair of jeans and t-shirts, she at least put that on.
As good as she looked, I'm sure she could have got some money to buy some clothes.
Yeah. With some conservative clothes.
Right. You know, it wouldn't hurt to do a little shopping. Even Walmart can put something to it.
Because really, all you, I mean, for guys
so many
and ladies.
Stores you can go to.
But gentlemen and ladies also, like you said, you know, what is it good to at least have a clean, decent, pressed shirt, pants, you know?
Right.
A lady, you know, clean, decent dress or shirt and pants or pantsuit.
Black stockings,
just have a polished,
you know?
Yeah, a polished appearance.
Right.
A polished appearance, yeah. So, you know,
it's sort of like the same etiquette you like to have, like when you're dressing up going to court. You don't want to go to court looking all trashy and everything. You want to go there looking business professional.
And one thing I like about, we were talking about sports too, is NBA and NFL and college sports athletes too, is when we usually see them off the court and they're addressing the media, where after the games they put on nice, like urban wear. But I like it when they have on their suits, especially when they arrive in a hosting city for a game and the players have on their nice suits. You know?
Well, yes.
That's a great
idea that I like that the NBA implemented, was making them wear that instead of having them look like they just stepped off the subway in New York or something.
Yeah.
So they
could make their appearance in, you know, in their suits and stuff, in their workout suits. But it's good when they have on their suits in NFL and NBA.
Some of the players just relished in that, and they was like, "How you like me now?" They just went.
Yeah.
They went bling blinging on it. They were styling and profiles, so I like that.
Yeah, and I noticed that throughout the years, from our youth to now, because that, you know, the culture and the way athletes address the public have drastically changed since our childhood, right or wrong. I mean, for my youth, certain athletes stood out, like one of my faves. I don't want to get you stirred up, though. O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson had always had, like, this appeal on and off the field, you know?
Well, yeah,
so,
he did.
Yeah, even back then. And then, you know, I remember when back in our day, I'm talking like, really, athletes, the way they address the media has changed. I remember when people used to talk negative about how athletes would address the media and talk about, like you were saying, certain words and certain language they would speak to the media. But athletes have proven that, hey, we're educated and we have brains too. But do you remember that stereotype?
Oh, yeah, I remember that stereotype quite well. It's like you could tell which one of them actually had a degree in business or a degree in English literature, something like that.
Thank you, because you're saying something. I don't, you know, oh, my God. Yeah, I don't want to, like, say something and be taken the wrong way, but people know what I'm talking about. A lot of athletes used to be the butt of comedian jokes.
Oh, yeah. About how they address the media. All right, and we're not. I'm being nice, trying not to call out no names. So we're just gonna keep that blank. You know, I don't want to start. I won't start this morning. Yes.
If y'all could read my mind.
Yes, Lord. You read my mind.
And another point during the interview, what were you saying?
No. You go ahead.
Another point is to stay calm. Because, I mean, some people, I mean, really get, you know, nervous or fidgety during the interview. So it's important to stay calm. And sometimes if you don't stay calm, you cannot hear what the interviewer is saying, too.
Yes, and that can lead for an embarrassing moment as well. Because, I mean, if the interviewer is asking you a question about one thing and they get an answer totally different from what the question was because you misunderstood it, that can make for an embarrassing gaffe to have to try to recover from, because you want to try to stay focused and calm when you're doing an interview because you don't want to get too nervous and start rambling and just throw the whole interview off completely. That can happen. So it's very
and I'm a person,
I
get excited. I'm really not a nervous person, but I'm a person that'll get excited. You know, underarms get wet. You know, so yeah, it's important to stay calm.
Yes.
I mean, if you get excited like me, or if you're the type of person that get nervous and shaky,
I will stay calm.
Because sometimes you might have to interview Ace, and then if you get nervous, like, oh my God.
Two things I used to have to always try to be very mindful of when I go on the interview is try not to say too much, and then in my case, if